All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of Persuasion by the Pint. Jonathan Taylor, along with
Sean McCool, and special invisible studio guest. If you're watching us on the YouTubes, which is not streaming, so I guess you're not.
Dang it. Here we go.
Curses.
All right, that's your cue, Jason. Say your name.
Yeah, that's Jason.
Okay. So. Jason Krimzer. My brother-in-law, he is on site today in studio.
The reason he's off camera is because we're being sponsored by the new Invisible Man movie. So if like we get thrown out of our chair all of a sudden, like that's because he pushed us.
Well, I can't do it now.
I know, right? You got a beer in your hand. Expensive beer in your hand.
No, wait a minute. I got to hear more about this new Invisible Man.
Oh, did you not? So when I went and saw the 1917 trailer, it was one of the, or not the trailer. When I saw the 1917 movie, it was one of the trailers. So it's a new Invisible Man. That's like a murder mystery type.
Yeah. Cause deal. The last one was, well, like Kevin Bacon did one. I think.
Yeah, which was just weird.
It was one of those Kevin Bacon movies.
Exactly. I was going to say it was right in line. But yeah, then the original was, you know, a little bit more of a superhero-ish type, but now this one's just flat out like more, not horror, I don't think, but it's definitely got more of the mystery, you know, Gone Girl, like those types of feel type movies. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that saw that trailer, and then the other trailer I'm looking forward to, or the movie I'm looking forward to, is the second Quiet Place coming out.
Oh,
or
yeah,
Quiet. Mm-hmm. That looked good too.
Yeah.
So,
although I don't think John
Krasinski.
Yeah, he's not free, right? But
he's not on the second.
Yeah, he's
one.
Dead. Well, he died very violently in the last one.
Shows you how much I've seen the first one.
Yeah, everybody keeps asking that. It's like, where's the husband? It's like, well, he died
in the whole movie. Is when he died,
I know. He's like, he protected the kids in the truck. That's how he died.
So yeah, Netflix is weird because when I actually, my kids were telling me about it, and so I went to look for it, and it wasn't available. Now all of a sudden, I check it like 2 weeks ago, and it's back on Netflix.
They're ramping up for the release. You see that on HBO. Like, you can tell what movie's coming out because all the old versions of it are coming out. Like this summer, when Top Gun comes back out, Top Gun will be playing 24/7 on some station somewhere. FX, it'll be on FX like every other show. Mm-hmm. And it'll be 6 hours long with commercials in it. So
Kenny Loggins will make his comeback.
New album. Sound just like the original.
Exactly.
I don't know. Maybe they'll tap into what's his name that does the Transformer movies? Michael Bay, whoever does the sound for them. Just we use a Transformer soundtrack for Top Gun. Bring it up to date.
It does look good, though. I gotta tell you.
I saw like some of the, I think it was in the trailer or one of the things I was watching, like the camera technology that they kind of created for this movie is pretty wild. Like in cockpit camera technology is pretty amazing. So should be some really good cinematography.
But, so I noticed they've left out Val Kilmer.
Have you seen him?
That may be why they've left him out.
Well, there you go.
It'd be hard to write that into the story. You know, what happened to...
Iceman.
So I heard he's supposed to be in the movie.
I think it's like a voice or a cameo or a flashback or something.
Oh, okay.
I don't think he's...
Yeah, he's in the nursing home.
Another one of those that haven't aged well.
Meanwhile, Tom Cruise looks almost the same.
Exactly. So. Exactly.
But it's because he's got a big head. Isn't that what our guest said from like
that's right,
two shows
last
ago?
Week.
Yeah.
That's right. So, Patty Wood, big head. Yep.
There you go. If you want to know more about
short body,
big
head
actors, yeah, listen to that episode because that was.
He's like a giant sized bobblehead. That's the key.
All right. So we picked up, try to get us back on track here. So we talked about Super Bowl ads in the last episode.
Yes.
And you gave us a little bit of a teaser when we were talking about how Alexa's using some really good psychology to make us feel bad about not having Alexa.
That's right.
Or I said that, but, and then you said that before we go there, But you said we're going to talk about why advertising makes us unhappy.
Why advertising makes us unhappy. So this
is
from
one of the things we talk about.
In-depth
research. But before, we go there, we got to talk beer because I'm thirsty.
That's right. We've got to drink something that makes us happy before we talk about something that makes us unhappy. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So I went first last time, so it's your turn.
All right. So I have a returning guest, you know, Abita Brewing Company. They're out of Louisiana. Today I have a macchiato.
Oh, wait. You got to say the whole thing in Ed Orgeron's voice.
All right, here we go.
It's macchiato,
I gotta wind up.
Espresso, milk stout.
There you go.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Go Tigers.
Go Tigers.
This is fantastic because...
It looks good.
Oh, man. If you like coffee, if you're a coffee drinker and you drink brew, this is by far one of my favorites so far of Abita because I actually went ahead and... Look how dark that is.
Man, you switched glasses for this one, did you? Or is that the same glass?
Same one. I just had to wash it out.
Do you want to... the label one more time. I was too focused on your Ed Orgeron voice that totally missed it.
Go Abita.
Macchiato milk stout. All right.
Macchiato. Straight from...
Abita Brewing.
Yeah, Abita. But I picked it up at Total Wine. Total Wine and More. So you should be able to find it there in your neck of the woods, there in Texas with Louisiana right there next door.
You would think so. So we'll find out. I have to take a trip up there. So here's what I've got going on. This is purely like this can was so like bright. It like jumped off the shelf at me.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking for something and it was in the single section because I'm trying not to buy another six pack because I've got like four packs of my six pack all in the fridge.
So you got a $5 single.
So I got a single, $287 actually. $287
right here. Okay. Ooh, so you got a sticker.
Yeah, so this is the Odd Side Peanut Butter Cup Stout.
Oh, man.
The name says it all. Flavors of chocolate and peanut butter come together in this delicious stout. So it's basically a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup in a can is my hope. That's my dream anyway. So we'll,
that sounds vaguely familiar with the peanut Buddha. Remember last week?
Yeah.
Peanut Buddha.
Yeah. The peanut Buddha. And then one of my favorite peanut butter stouts of all time is the, Sweet Baby Jesus. No, not Sweet Baby Jesus. It's something. Jesus. What is it?
It's not what. Is it when you get
it on the show? We haven't had it on the show because you can only get it up in like Northern Virginia.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's really good though. So now I got to look it up. Jesus Stout. Just
Jesus beer.
Jesus beer.
Sweet baby Jesus.
It is sweet baby Jesus. Okay. So yeah, so this beer, I first had it like 4 or 5 years ago, the Sweet Baby Jesus, not the one I'm drinking now. And I was up in Northern Virginia. And I went looking for it in the store. They're like, oh, yeah, I know exactly where that one is. That's the one that they try to pull off the shelf and hide because they don't like having the name Jesus on beer. I was like, really? Who's they? And he's like, the local churches. They come in here and they hide it. And I was like,
Jesus was like, can't be on beer.
Jesus.
Well, it's a conflict of interest, though.
Just,
clearly. I mean, he's a wine guy. Call it Sweet Baby Jesus, then. Okay.
Yeah, Jesus is a wine guy. He's not a beer guy. I mean, that's obvious. That's the problem.
Okay, so. Oh man, look, this thing won a bronze medal.
Which one?
The GABF. But that's the Sweet Baby Jesus. I'm sorry. I'm getting off on a tangent here.
Yeah, we're still talking. So let me try this one real quick. Figure out where I'm at here. Odd Side Peanut Butter Cup Stout. Like the peanut butter just hits your nose like wow. Very good.
Does it blend
lots well of peanut butter? Chocolate? Lots of, it's got a lot of the chocolate kind of lingers afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
You get the aroma of peanut butter, but then the chocolate finish.
Hold that up like on the screen. Ratio. There we go.
Odd Side Peanut Butter Cup Stout. And it's only 7.73% alcohol.
Let's say IBUs.
I don't know. Let's see. See if that's
amazing. 33 on the Sweet Baby Jesus. That surprises me.
Yeah, this doesn't have IBUs. This is from Michigan. could have done my Harbaugh impersonation. So while you're talking, because you're going to be doing more of the leading, check this out. I've got a little snack to go along with my beer. So if you're watching on the YouTubes, check this out. I got a hat that goes with it, first of all.
Mm-hmm. You son of a gun.
Well, now I've got like a, so here's my raspberry filled Krispy Kreme.
So and it's not even National Donut Day. I mean, come on. We did that last year. I mean.
Well, the kids were out last night. Sydney and her boyfriend were out and they stopped and got donuts and brought them home. And, mm-hmm. you know, they don't last that long.
No. Like an assortment. They got the assortment.
Yeah. They got the like six glazed and then six assorted or something like that.
All right. Best Krispy Kreme donut is
fill in the blank. For me, the go-to is the glazed.
Okay.
But this is probably my second, the raspberry filled.
Oh, okay. How about you?
I'm a more of a lemon filled guy.
Lemon filled. Oh. That's Rachel's. She likes really? The lemon. Yeah.
Must be a German thing.
Must be a family thing.
There you go. The Boston or the cream? Boston cream.
Boston cream.
Because when I go to the other guys out there, Duncan.
Yeah. Yeah.
I get a Boston. Because they're
I'm going to a regular donut place, then it's like the Long John's, you know, the chocolate covered Long John type thing.
Go there. I mean, Pilot. You want to get a good Long John, go to Pilot.
Exactly. Yeah. And if you're not from Knoxville or
that's right.
the eastern half of the country, because we don't have Pilot out here. Yeah. We've got Bucky's. Bucky's has everything, including beef jerky and brisket and everything else. You can get
all of your food groups. Tacos.
Yes.
Long John's.
And clothes.
And beer.
And clothes. Clothes. At Bucky's.
Nice little hat.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk. I guess we should talk something persuasion and marketing.
We should.
All right.
So I'm going to start off with the January-February Harvard Business Review in my beer-stained fingers.
Currently.
Not formally. So here's an interesting article because we were talking last episode on Super Bowl ads, but they had a Professor Oswald. Let me guess, this guy's probably German, which he is. And Andrew Oswald, he did a study. It's a compared survey data on life satisfaction of more than 900,000 citizens of 27 European countries from 1980 to 2011. With data on annual advertising spending in those nations over the same period. So research found an inverse connection between the two. Here's the big thing. The takeaway is advertising makes us unhappy. The conclusion is the more we spend every year on advertising, the less happy we become. So all of these dollars being spent today on brands like we talked about it on last episode, Jeep, mm-hmm. I think these are mostly, you can paint a broad brush when it comes to advertising. So yeah. I'm going to say that what they're referring to is kind of luxury advertising, not consumer goods type advertising.
I don't know. I think it could include anything.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd be interested to see like the details of the study. You know, whenever they throw out these studies, they're cherry picking data and phrases from the study, but I could certainly make a case where if I can't afford Bounty, I feel like less of a human and I have to get like the cheap brand.
That's interesting because I don't care. I could care less between whatever Walmart's brand and Bounty, but
I'm
when it comes to
some things, but there's, you know,
cause it is Bounty's not a status product. I could look at if I walk into your pantry or your kitchen and I see a roll of paper towel, I don't know what it is.
You feel the same way about toilet paper?
Toilet paper is completely different.
That's a completely different thing.
That's personal.
Very, very personal.
All right. So let me read you a snippet on this.
No way. We're going to go down this rabbit hole a little further. Not that hole. The rabbit hole. What's your brand for toilet paper?
What is my brand?
Are there brands? Yeah.
I don't even know what my...
That's a Rachel question.
Yeah, exactly. That's a Rachel question. It's a Costco. It's something from Costco.
Kirkland's softest.
Probably is. Probably is Kirkland. It's something you get in large quantities at a deep discount.
I had no idea this was something you could even analyze, so.
Everything can be analyzed.
Well, you're coming from someone who's fundamentally incapable of not analyzing,
That's what we do.
Jason, check this out. One of my clients, he used to work for Procter & Gamble back in the day. And when he worked there, he told me that at one point they had 50, it was either 50 or 150, either way, it doesn't matter, engineers working on the softness of Charmin to get it softer. These are not cheap people. These are $150,000, $250,000 a year people.
Exactly. Your average engineer is $80,000. It's probably $80,000 to $85,000.
And if they're working at Procter & Gamble, they're probably the higher end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So, they're probably $120,000.
I wonder who the consumers are that are testing these products and putting up data like, you know, softness, roughness, efficacy.
This is just too rough. Wow. We need more squeeze. Mr. Whipple would be horrified.
That's really interesting. How many? Wow. Say that number again.
It was either 50 or 150. Either way, like, it's ridiculous. Like, you know, that's 50 is too many.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
what is that meeting like?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, guys. It's the 15th. Let's hear your softness updates.
Any group of 50 experts, how would that go?
Oh my God, yes. That would be painful.
Well, that's it. I mean, I can only imagine what those, you know, those meeting rooms. I mean, some of them.
The dialogue would be fun to listen to.
The softness next to my posterior. I mean, you know how engineers talk? I mean, it's like posterior.
But you know it's going to be like technical terms that we've not even thought of. Like, oh,
give you one, the intergluteal cleft.
Oh, there you go.
That's probably one that's referenced quite a bit. But I can't say what that means.
Yeah, and how about like, yeah, I'm sure there's something like the, you know, because it's paper, right? So now you got to get to the, whatever the scientific term for wood and paper is, all that stuff. Like, it's crazy.
All right, before this show goes down the toilet, we are going to, I'm going to analyze. Okay, here's one of the things they say. Our research shows that really big differences on human happiness are things like health, intimate relationships, being employed, social safety nets, not being in a midlife crisis, which I'm sure you could throw toilet tissue in there somewhere, buying that watch or car can help make us feel slightly happier, but deep down, it's keeping us up to date with the Joneses and the status effect. But when everybody buys the same thing, the effect is nullified. More or less, what he's saying is that part of the problem is when you advertise, people start jumping on board with everything. People buy a lot of things, like the luxury things, for status. But,
right,
you know, once other people reach that status, then it kind of negates everything. And so it's not cool anymore. Yeah, it's not cool. So we don't feel like we're ahead or we're, you special. Know, we're a step ahead of the Joneses. We get depressed again. Mm-hmm. That's part of advertising to me. I mean, that's just part of what are you going to do? You know?
Yeah, so that's a good question. Like, is there a way to advertise that your own products and services that does not trigger that, or is that just that's just kind of how it is? Like, I mean, do we have to accept that as advertisers, or do
I have to assume that it's been that way since the dawn of advertising?
Yeah
of course. I mean, today I think it's different. Today, you know, we look at it today, we kind of live in an affluent culture. Most of us can afford. I think there was a time where you could probably advertise, you know, some of the higher tier brands and things like that, but not everybody could connect with. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, a lot of people can. They have disposable income.
And there's an old saying, a luxury once tasted becomes necessity.
Sure.
So, you know, 50 years ago, not everybody had you know, two cars. Mm-hmm. Now, most families have, a lot of families have two cars. I'm sure there's somebody who thinks we're privileged just by saying that.
Right.
But, you know, 100 years ago, refrigeration, electricity, all those things were luxuries.
Yeah.
And now even in, you know, many of the poor neighborhoods, at least in this country, I know there's exceptions around the world, mm-hmm. but there's plenty of studies that show across the board, everybody, like the bottom is so much ahead of the, where the top was 500 years ago.
Yeah.
Like if you think about kings and castles in medieval times,
right.
like even very poor places have more than what they had.
Absolutely.
And we tend to forget that because we still see the stuff that's not how we would want it to be, where living conditions are substandard. Mm-hmm. And we think that, oh my God, things are bad and they're getting worse, when actually things are better than they've ever been. But that it tends to get negated because we see these little pockets or these big pockets of where people aren't living up to what we experience.
Exactly.
And it's all relative. I mean, then we see people, you know, that are above us and they're having yacht wars about who can have the biggest yacht. Well,
here's
it's
a great,
all relative.
Yeah, it is. It really is. You think about, okay, 1928, here's something, because I was reading an article about this earlier this week. Herbert Hoover, on his second bid for the presidency, he was promising a chicken in every pot. Okay, so fast forward that to today. I mean, my kids get tired of chicken, you know, having chicken for day two. Back then, that was a luxury. Mm-hmm. And so that was almost unheard of, chicken or turkey. Today, it's like you go to Subway and get a turkey sandwich or...
Yeah, now we're promising free health care and $1,000 check.
And trips to the moon and stuff.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Free college education and everything else you want.
So tell me today we're worse off than we were 100 years ago. Well, we're much better off, but we don't see that.
We don't feel that.
No, we don't
either,
feel that.
Yeah, according to the article.
Right.
And I would argue that it's advertising that drives a lot of the advances. Mm-hmm. Forward. So even though we're maybe feeling worse, it's actually advertising that helps pay the bills and gets people to try new things. Sure. And bring new things, you know, without advertising, nobody's buying a refrigerator. Nobody's buying a car. Nobody's doing any of that stuff at the turn of the century.
Right.
Because they'll just keep doing what they've been doing.
Yep.
So, you know, as we know in persuasion and advertising, you have to stir up some discontent.
Absolutely.
With your current situation in order to get you to move and take action on something new.
Yep. Would you guys, either of y'all, argue that that is a necessary component? I mean, otherwise, what's the point of advertising? Right? I mean...
I think so.
I mean, if you know what I mean? Like, if there isn't a void, what's the point of your message in any capacity?
And the fact is, these things do make our life better. I think the products do make our life better. I mean, you know, if you have a refrigerator, I know I keep going back to that, but it's a pretty cool invention. It allows you to not have to go to the market every day. You can store stuff for 2, 3, 4 weeks or longer, mm-hmm. especially in the back of the fridge. That thing will hold stuff for, you know, months and years. You don't want to find it by the time it's back there, but hey, it holds it. even fridges are becoming luxury goods, right? It's not enough to have a fridge. Now you got to have a smart fridge.
Smart fridge.
Alexa-enabled fridge.
Alexa-enabled smart fridge.
Things
that
for
orders
you.
For you.
Yeah.
And or else you're just falling behind. And I think that's where advertising can do a disservice.
Sure.
Is when it starts comparing what you have to what other people have.
Right.
And which I know it's almost a paradox. Like you have to stir up some discontent. Mm-hmm. But you have to be careful as an advertiser not to stir up the discontent of what other people have, but more discontent of just like what would make your life, give you more time to be with friends or family or whatever,
right?
As opposed to keeping up with somebody else.
Sure.
And I think that's the distinction that makes us unhappy, is when we're the difference between improving our life mm-hmm. and trying to keep up with somebody else's life.
Sure. Exactly.
And that's a slippery slope. It's hard.
Yeah.
Well, I think distinction. Today's generation, I think their priorities have shifted.
Kids. So,
yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, kids.
Okay, boomer.
Yes, exactly.
Have you gotten your first okay boomer out in the wild?
Oh, by the way, I get it from my kid every day.
Well, see, that doesn't count because they're just pushing your buttons. But like, have you been mistaken for a boomer out in the wild yet?
No, not out in the wild. No, I haven't.
Yeah, I haven't either. So
I haven't. People still mistake me for a younger generation.
Can I get like a 5-second definition of what that means, being a boomer?
Yeah, so okay boomer is just like the catchphrase for millennials when they think that somebody is saying something that's kind of dated or whatever.
I got you. Because I'm in that tween millennial thing where I technically am, but I don't really identify with any.
Yeah, everybody's forgotten about Gen X for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Jonathan, you and I are Gen X.
Oh, yeah.
And for, you know, in the 90s, we were kind of the millennials.
Mm. Yeah.
That everybody was making fun of and stuff. But now everybody's just forgotten Gen X's even exist. We're kind of.
It's true.
The lost generation as far as
that's crazy too, because we tend to have the money
right now. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, okay. So millennials,
well, we're in our prime earning years,
right?
For sure.
Right. We have money.
We're also one of the smaller generations in history. Like just from a numbers standpoint, millennials are huge. They're bigger than from numbers standpoint, they're bigger than boomers, which was one of the biggest generations ever. And they're right. Actually bigger than boomers, which means their spending power will be bigger more than likely over the next two, probably. Three, 4 decades.
If they can get their act together.
Yeah, and if they're not renting everything. it's hard to accumulate wealth when you're spending $40 on an Uber ride to go downtown.
Exactly.
So
that gives me great hope for our generation.
Hey, don't hate on Uber. Suck a lot. <out
of that. laughs> I mean,
us Xers will crush you. We will crush you.
We had the best movies by far.
The best.
80s.
You did?
Yes. The best.
80s. Yes. Best music.
I think modern times, in terms of improvement, ended really in the mid to late 90s. Like, we've just been peddling around with what we've got and made. But
yeah, it's been really incremental.
Yeah.
A lot of incremental stuff since you know, kind of the app culture came out, I think.
Yeah.
Mr. Tesla might disagree, but Mr. Musk, he thinks he's doing big things.
He really does think so.
But, well, you know.
It's hard to argue with 250,000 pre-orders.
Oh, I can argue a lot, but I won't.
But did you see Hummer's coming out with an electric vehicle?
Mm.
The Hummer is back.
Why would you try? What's the over under? Is there a bet I can make on whether that'll succeed or not?
I don't know.
Well, Maybe. It's interesting because there's one investor predictor out there that's saying by 2024, Tesla stock will be worth 5,000 a share, 5,000 plus a share. So it could be more than that.
So that's another 500% in 4 years.
Which means it's,
I don't know.
Things like this make me start to think, okay, so they don't have the market on electric vehicles because you're seeing other cars are starting to catch up to that model.
Well, even some of their patents will expire by then.
Right.
Which means they don't have proprietary technology anymore.
Okay. Yeah. So, and then self-driving.
Even the Hyundai commercial that we bashed on the last show.
Right.
I mean, it had a self-park feature, mm-hmm. You know, self-park.
Park.
And car self parks itself, mm-hmm. And which is pretty cool technology, and it's the same technology that's in a Tesla,
right?
So it's like that's one thing the Korean car companies are really good at is like bringing those types of luxury technologies down to scale really fast. Like they've done a really good job over the last 20, 30 years.
Yeah,
I remember the first time I saw a Hyundai was like 88 at the Atlanta car show. And that's when it was like a Yugo, you know, and now Hyundai is like a, you know, they spun off Genesis as a luxury brand. Like they're solid, good cars. Still don't have the name recognition, but they're
right.
From a quality. And I think from bringing luxury to the masses, they do as good a job and they push the envelope as fast as anybody.
Right.
Well, let's move on to, we had a couple other things we want to talk about. So we've talked a little bit about why advertising makes us unhappy and we have no nothing to really, we can't figure out how to overcome that. And I agree with it, but you know,
it can't be solved. I mean, advertising has nothing to do with it.
I mean, when you've got all, you know, it goes back to Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Mm-hmm. You know, most of us have the basics taken care of.
Yeah.
And so from there, it just becomes more and more about,
right,
you know, personal wants and desires and things mm-hmm. like that. And eventually you move past kind of the superficial things and you'll move into other stuff. But even so, like, you know, people like nice houses and nice cars and
right.
good food and all nice toilet paper, soft toilet paper, mm-hmm. like that all matters.
Yeah.
So a couple weeks ago, I don't remember how long it's been now, we had Craig Simpson on and yes. he mentioned some envelopes that were working well. One was a 9x11 envelope that mm-hmm. had like stuff around the edges. And yep. I got one in the mail. I don't know if Craig had anything to do with it or not. But I thought I just wanted to show it on the YouTube.
That's not from Craig though.
No, it's from Premier Diamond Group. And here's a cool.
That's old school, man. Look at the edges around that thing. That's
yeah. It's got the blue and white. It's supposed to look like old airmail, I guess, or international yeah. mail. Kind of has that feel to it. Mm-hmm. You know, it says personal and confidential down here in the corner. Oh, here's a little hack for you for the copywriters and marketers on the listening. On the other side, I guess on the speaker side. We're on the mic side, they're on the speaker side. So on the speakers out there, I know where this mail came from. I know which list it came from because when I sign up for email list or mailing list specifically, like if I'm actually buying a product that gets delivered to me, what I do is I put my first name and then I'm going to get all kinds of mail if I don't cover that up, but oh well.
Oh well. You've already shown it.
Yeah, somebody can freeze the frame and find it. So my middle initial, I make the company's initials. So okay. this one's kind of funny because it's Agora Financial. So it's Sean A.F. McCool. So, but then every time I get a piece of mail, I know which list they pulled from mm-hmm. to send me the mail. So I know this came from because I bought something from Agora Financial at one point. Sure. But I just wanted to show the envelope. It's definitely an attention
getter. 8.5x11, of course.
And like I said, when we were on the call, the mail person did use it as a wrapper. So it was in the mailbox with all the other mail like inside of it, and they used it as a wrapper. Okay. So it was on the outside, and you couldn't miss it.
I didn't think about that. Most mail
carriers. Because it's the biggest piece.
Yeah, that's what they do.
Yeah.
They wrap it around the other.
Right. It's like when you get your Wednesday flyers from the supermarkets, all your mail is inside those because it just folds nicely, and that's how you stick it in the mailbox.
And that's 8.5x11. That's the key.
This one I think is 9x11. Is that what he said the size was? 9x11, I think.
8.5. Something like that. Yeah.
And then I got this one last week. So while we're on the subject of direct mail. So this is pretty cool. So this is just a regular green envelope. It's got a little sticker on it.
Whoa. It says, flip that back around. You got to say
so
something.
It says,
switch to your
whether
camera.
You believe you can do a thing or not, you're right, Henry Ford. And then it's got like an address and super fine print, but it looks very much like a little, it's got a little cactus plant.
Oh, that's
in it.
Cool. Yeah, I see that.
Looks very personal, right? Mm-hmm. And then it's got a fake stamp on it. and it's got the font, handwriting font that they used. So I was like, okay, I see the little bar across the bottom and I see the fake stamp mm-hmm. because I know this stuff because, you know, this is what we talk about all the time. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I don't know. Maybe that is personal. Like, yeah. I don't know who this person is. So let me see who's writing me from Long Beach. And I open it up and it's folded like a letter. Mm-hmm.
To Sean, Dear Sean.
And then inside it, there's a little book. Mm-hmm. So it's a lift note, what we call these, right? It's a little lift note.
Yep.
And then there's a book that says I'm getting old.
Ooh. All right, flip that back around. Let's see that.
High blood pressure, inflammation, lack of energy, excess belly fat, joint pain. So basically it says, Sean, are you getting old? That's what it says.
Summary.
And how little known marine oil from the Arctic has started a health revolution. Here's what it can do for you by Jorn Anderson. So it's basically a sales letter in the format of a little book.
That looks like a, you know, quite honestly. A mini book. That looks, book. I was going to say that looks like exactly like a mini book.
Yeah.
Let me show you. That's a, yeah. I think that's a little bit bigger than this.
So this one is 32 pages. And because it's sent out to old people, it's got pretty big font. because otherwise I have to put on my glasses to read it. Yeah. So it probably is one of the, it doesn't have a, like a stamp on it that says mini book or anything, but okay. Yeah. So I thought this was a really good, good example of like, it got me to open. It got me to look at it. I think their demographics are just a little bit off because I don't have any of these symptoms. So they I'm not on the right list for
still,
these people.
Still though, wonder how much it cost them to mail that out.
Yeah. It's probably still less than the, you know, whatever the letter rate is.
I can tell you what the printing cost is not that much, especially, I mean, from my experience with MiniBook.
Yeah. And well, I mean, they're selling a supplement. So, mm-hmm. You know, there's high profit in supplements. So sure. If they sell, you know, one supplement, it's Arctic Ruby is the supplement, arcticrubyoil.com. $39.95 a month plus $7.95 for shipping and handling. And I'm sure they upsell you 6 and 9 months, which is a typical offers for supplements.
You say Arctic Ruby. Is that like
it's a type of fish oil.
Oh, okay.
Just a red krill. I think it's red krill fish oil. I didn't read the whole book. Okay. But I just thought it was a good, like it got the first job done, which was it made me open the thing.
So
and that's the biggest, that's the hardest part. It's like a subject line in an email. It's the hardest part is to get somebody to open it.
But that wasn't a real stamp. So what was that inserted in something else?
Well, the stamp, it's a stick on stamp.
Okay. But I don't see it like with the,
but it's not postmarked. So it had to go bulk or, you know, book rate or something like that.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm not sure how they
take away direct mail still works.
Still works.
Bottom line.
Yep.
I wasn't aware of that until about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Contrary to
Poplar is a tree, you know.
Poplar. Your pre-2 beer voice.
Popular and poplar opinion. Yeah, direct mail still works.
Yeah. So. It absolutely does. Because I think the day I got this, I don't think there was much competition in the mailbox compared to the 100 plus emails I got that day, which I literally just click, 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 delete all.
Every one of them.
Yeah. Like literally I'll go through and I'll hit delete like on 25 emails at once, you know, check the box on Gmail and then go up and hit delete and it deletes 25 at once. Love you know, it. Whereas this, I have to at least look at it and sort it and, I'm not the target market, but had I been it's a pretty good chance the average population is going to have one of these 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 symptoms.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you're covering the 5 biggest problems of most people.
High pressure, inflammation,
high blood pressure, inflammation, lack of energy, excess belly fat and joint pain. Well, we know 75% of Americans are overweight. So, you know, the chances are pretty good you're going to hit on this.
Right.
I'm just a superior specimen, so.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Your age range, Sean, and my age range, pretty much guarantees that one of those on the title of that book will be spot on.
But they don't ride 54 miles during the Super Bowl on their Peloton like I do. So.
That's right.
Does anyone do that?
No one else in the world does that but me. And there's probably a good reason. I was exhausted the next day.
You're better for it, though.
Yeah. I've been tired all week on the Peloton because of that Sunday.
Oh, shoot. You sold me on a Peloton. I'm getting a Peloton.
You'd probably like the tread because you like to run.
I do, but my knee's getting bad.
Oh, yeah.
So that's going to be problematic moving forward.
All right. So we've talked about why advertising makes us unhappy. We've talked about these envelopes. What else you got on deck? Or are we wrapping up?
I just made myself a reminder to reach out to David Seed of Mini Book. We got to have him on.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think there's a lot of people listening that could use that either for their clients or for themselves. Actually, I think that'd be a good, I'd like to use that as a coaching offer.
And I can vouch.
To write a book, but I don't want to write a whole book right now.
Well,
like you could get the key points, almost your outline of your book in a mini book.
I've published two books myself through him and then referred another three clients through him that have written like those little mini books that have been really cool, really successful. Yep. And I need to reach back out to him. As much business as I've sent him, he's going to come on for sure.
He's going to come on. Yeah. We'll get him. So let me ask you this. So we'll wrap up with this. Oh, you want to talk about the other book?
Yeah. I wanted to talk about Brand Seduction.
Ooh la la.
I don't like, it's kind of a cheesy cover, you know, with the,
I know, right? It looks a little cheap. That's some cheap perfume.
All right. One thing. Okay. Here's the thing that I'm going to take away from this book is, so he talks about, you know, we've highlighted that book, Predictably Irrational, a number of times before. It's, what is it? I'm trying to remember the guy's name. So to summarize, and I don't want to go too deep into this book. I think this could be a separate episode. You make fun of me because I like these seduction books a lot. So
I just think it's funny because the only reason I bring it up is because you told me one time that your wife saw one of those books laying around. Now, every time I think about you getting a new book, I'm like, she's got to be worried with like six of these different titles.
Okay, let me list out Seducing Strangers, Seduction, Brand Seduction. So there is a commonality in all of these books. I don't know. They capture me every time. I have no idea.
We should have a therapist on.
Okay, I'm making a note. We will have a therapist.
I can recommend a few.
A seduction therapist will join us.
Remember, we'll get Neil Strauss on. He'd be a good guest to like bridge the gap that between these two.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, his old
that
book.
That dude would put me in therapy. And I'm not into therapy.
Like, you know, his old book was all about that. His new book he's settled down.
Yeah.
But
now that he has a family, he's not out chasing.
I mean, how's that for his wife to read the book? The first book and be like, yeah, this is the guy.
This is how I met my husband.
I read his book. He's a published author.
All right. So I'm going to read an excerpt from here because we humans are so irrational when it comes to making buying decisions. We talked about this so many times. So
you could say we're predictably irrational.
Man, that's a great title for a book. I'm going to write that one down. So it is Dan. Yeah, it's Dan Ayerly.
Ayerly.
Okay. Behavioral economist who ran the vinegar beer study. That sounds just disgusting. Sounds absolutely disgusting.
Vinegar. How'd that make it through committee? I don't know.
He ran a great study that showed, okay, so let me cut to the chase. He asked students to write down the last two digits of their social security numbers.
Okay, I'm going to do this.
Jason.
A2 was before you even finished your sentence. A2,
all right. So, okay. I'm not going to share mine. 5-6. Okay, I've just shared it. All right, so after he had these people write these numbers down,
okay,
this is interesting. So do you have your number?
I do.
Okay.
I've got my number.
All right, so he asked them if they would be willing to pay that amount. So think about that, those last two numbers. He asked them if they would be willing to pay that amount for a bottle of wine. So if their last two digits were whatever the number, let's just say 52, they had to decide if they would spend $52 on that bottle of wine. After they wrote down the answer, they were then asked to participate in a real auction that they could bid their own money for a few items for those bottles of wine specifically. So here's the summary, writing down those two numbers, those two random digits, we would think from a logical side, they should have no bearing on what we would pay for a bottle of wine, correct? So I don't know what yours is, because so I've already mentioned mine. So I would think from a rational standpoint, there's no absolute way that I would bid more than $56 on a bottle of wine, right?
Right.
But unfortunately, that's not true. Writing down those numbers, those two random digits before bidding shouldn't have that effect, especially when their own real money was at stake. Rationally, it shouldn't. But as we know, we're not rational human beings. It turns out those random two digits had a very strong effect on the student's eventual bids. The students whose social security numbers ended in 0 to 19 bid an average of $67. The next group of students with numbers from 20 to 39 offered an average of $102. Wow. This pattern continued through the group with the highest random digits of 80 to 99, whose average bid was $198, or three times as much as the lowest group for the same exact items. So the bottom line is whatever your number is, you tended to go up from that. That was your baseline, whatever that is.
Is it not similar to the concept of your biggest seller being the mid grade, you know?
Yep. Well, I mean, it's what's really going on there is priming, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you've ever seen Will Smith movie Focus.
Yeah.
And they go into a lot of that in that movie, but that's what con men do. That's what stage hypnotists and stage psychics do, is they use priming numbers in all kinds of ways to, so you're priming your brain that, 33 is a safe number.
It's an anchor to start with. It's like anchoring. Yeah. We've talked about anchoring in the past. So you anchor with a specific number and go from there. I think it was, Cialdini in Persuasion had mentioned that.
Yeah.
Starting off with a base number.
Well, and you know, there's ways to do that. If you wanted to, so this we're kind of getting into dark persuasion here, but
dark like, persuasion.
Yeah.
Like so the dark web.
The dark web, the dark arts of persuasion. So like if you ask somebody you know, somebody in our age group, right? Gen Xers, they're born in the 70s.
Right.
So if you said, so what year were you born? Now you've planted a number that is almost $2,000 in their head.
Exactly.
Oh, 1971. Okay, cool. So now that number is a safe number because it's, you said it, you survived it. Mm-hmm. Like there's all kinds of stuff that goes on. And you could actually make the same kind of case that now when you introduce your price, that's around $2,500. That doesn't sound crazy because it's not much more than 1971. So we've now given our birth date and our last two social on this show. We should probably stop drinking and.
Well, right, but mathematically, the last two digits wouldn't remotely.
Okay, I'm calling
Einstein information to insinuate the rest of this.
I'm calling SafeLock after this.
This is not a paid endorsement.
No, yeah, so it's fascinating though, just how completely.
We should have a mentalist. Yeah. We should have a mentalist on the show. That'd be a good query to put out. Mentalist.
A mentalist. Like in the show Mentalist.
Yes. Those are fascinating. Cold reading, mentalism, all that stuff. There's a lot of that stuff that is used in advertising at the highest levels. And I think that would be good. So that'd be fun.
We will have a mentalist on this upcoming episode.
Lock your wallet up. Do not bring your wallet to the show.
Our advertiser will be safe.
So let me tell you like one of the craziest things I've ever done in sales, and we'll finish with this you got something else. So I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but I used to sell timeshare. Mm-hmm. So I'm one of those guys.
You son of, okay.
Yeah. If you've seen South Park episode, if you've seen the timeshare episode from South Park, you know, it's uncannily accurate. First of all, let me tell you. So we did this game. Talk about priming and like manipulating.
Yeah.
And that's why I left the business. So we played this game that, they were giving away a trip early in the process and you're in the big room. Everybody's at their tables. They're trying to make it fun. So they're like, we're doing a giveaway. We're giving away a free trip to Orlando, Florida, or to Hawaii or wherever, right? Yeah. Depending on where you're at.
Right.
And if you're in the Smokies, it's Orlando. If you're in Orlando, it's probably Hawaii or whatever. But anyway, it's a free, like, 7-day trip. Like, it's a big prize, and it's, there's no catches on it. But the way they do it is they're like, okay, we've got, we're thinking of a number from like 1 to 10. Somebody give me a number from 1 to 10, and somebody yells out a number. It's like, okay, the number's 7. All right, great. All right, everybody open up your wallet, pull out your credit cards. How many people have a credit card that ends in the number 7? So everybody's like pulling out their credit cards, right? And like, oh, I've got 2 that have a number 7. And they're like, right, well, it doesn't have to, if you've got a number 7 anywhere in the credit card, expiration date, the number, right, whatever, like, put a tally mark for every time you have the number 7. Whoever has the most 7s in all their credit cards combined wins. Gosh, so now,
I'm up.
So now you're like, at the salesperson, you're like, okay, so they've got 14 credit cards. So there's my down payment for the, because they can spread it out across 4 or 5 credit cards. And that was the whole purpose, like, to see how good their credit was, how many credit cards they had for down payment and all that stuff. And like, people did not even realize it was happening because they were caught up in the excitement of winning a prize. And, you know, we've talked about that on the show. Like, there's the dark side of marketing, and then there's the, you know, the other side where you, people who are actually providing good products and services. Yep. So you just got to be on the lookout for all these tricks and these, you know, priming and anchoring and everything else that goes on out in the world. And just keep your guard up. I mean, that's why Cialdini wrote his book in the first place.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy.
Persuasion.
So hold on to your wallets, people.
That's it. All right, guys.
So
that was a lot to think about. Well, guys, listen, you can find us, as always, persuasionbythepint.com. You can find us over at, on any of your podcast platforms, whether it's Stitcher Radio, you know, Spotify, you name it, who cares?
You get a podcast platform. You get a podcast platform. Yeah.
We'll see you next time. It's been fun, Sean. Jason, thanks so much. Enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Jason, you got to come back, man. You made the show. All right, thanks, guys.